Tuesday, and the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman, is back in the house. Nice to see you again.
Good morning on a bubbly Tuesday.
I saw you on social media running away from the studio.
Oh, you know when clients call, you got to bounce.
It's like squad cars.
Yeah, you got to bounce.
So how are things, Barry? What's happening in your world?
Yeah, no, cracking on. I actually had had quite an interesting phone call this morning from one of my clients who decided to give some other person a bit of a go with some plumbing work, and after 5 return visits and the issue is still not resolved, he's now conceded and phoned me back and said, right, so I think it's the professional plumber's turn to come back and come and sort the problem out.
Isn't that an accolade, really? It is when you are brought in sometimes in a sense. I'm sure the plumber that you are being brought into to replace, they probably did their best under the circumstances, but not everyone has the experience, and not everyone has the expertise, and not everyone has the equipment, and so on and so forth, which is why we maintain that there are many good tradesmen and there are many good professionals there in any society, and there are also those that, although they might try and they might offer you a better price and they might offer you all sorts of things and hopefully do their best to deliver those things, they just fail to because of the capacity. And it's not casting aspersions on them, it's just a reality.
But Dave, there's definitely a really large portion of people in the industry. So with me being a plumbing compliance auditor, I go out and assess other plumbers' installations for the plumbing body to check for compliancy and everything. And you bump your head into a lot of arrogance. A lot of people saying, oh, I've been plumbing for 30 years. Yeah. You can't teach me anything. Or I know everything. And straight away when you start hearing that, like alarm bells go off that you're going to find something that's not right. Because
isn't it generally the case that I think it was Shakespeare that said he doth protest his innocence too loudly, and generally it's people that attack you on the basis that you're looking at them or investigating, because they are completely aware of the fact of their shortcomings and they don't want you to continue, so they go for you.
No, 100%. But my whole argument with this whole thing is if you are not learning something new every day, you're not working in the industry. And you're not passionate about the industry. So for me, the day I say I'm not learning anything anymore, or I have nothing to learn, is the day I must exit the industry, because then my passion's died.
But it's also quite an interesting observation that the technical aspect of your job, any good service provider's job, is one thing and it's important, but there's the human aspect of the interface, and you're dealing with the public, and I'm sure that you will agree, because everyone that I speak to about their particular jobs and professions and service provision will tell you, once you interrogate just a little bit beneath the surface, that possibly one of the hardest aspects of their business is dealing with the public. Because for every reasonable and lovely customer, you'll find that there is an experience behind, maybe 1 out of 10, but there is that one, and that's the one that sticks out, that offends you, because they just people are strange, as they say.
No, 100%. I mean, it takes, we live in a rainbow nation, eh? All kinds of people make the world. And life would be horribly boring if we didn't have any challenges.
But isn't it the fact that it's the way one deals with the challenges that determines the outcome, ultimately the success or the failure thereof? Because even the most obnoxious person, if ultimately you find a way to meet the minds and to deliver, even through the obnoxious nature of the contract, you can turn things around if you have those people skills, which I think you do.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is just keeping a cool head, stand your ground with regards to your knowledge and what you feel is right for that particular application or installation, and justify your stance with the technical terms and all of that jazz, so that you know, this is the reason why I'm doing it, because the SANS regulation says this.
Mm.
If you would like to do it another way, sure thing, we can do it, but it's going to be non-compliant. So do you want a compliant installation or do you want a non-compliant installation?
Would you do a non-compliant installation? Isn't your reputation worth more than that?
So it depends in the particular application, because like with geysers, for example, the regulations changed.
Oh.
In 2017, the regulations were updated and...
So prior to that, you might have done it a certain way, but now it falls out of scope of regulation.
Yeah. So, for example, there's a very tall building in Belito that has water heaters that sit in the middle of the kitchen hanging from the ceiling. And
it's funny, I was talking about that building. Is that La Belito?
Yes.
I've seen those geysers. It's a peculiar installation. Yeah.
It's an amazing building. I mean, it's phenomenal. I still don't know how we got such a tall building in Belito. No,
apparently it was built in circumstances which were questionable.
But yeah, so for example, those geysers, those water heaters in that building, they are non-compliant. And there's no way to make them compliant. So you've got to replace it like it is. I mean, us as plumbers in the community, we've had this conversation multiple times.
But surely, there's a reason for compliancy. It's for safety, presumably.
Yeah.
So you've got a situation where a building has been built, and I say, I would not go into the history of it, but there were questions raised about how a skyscraper was built in Belito, where there are regulations in terms of height, etc., etc. But be that as it may, it exists now. It's non-compliant. The rules and regulations have been, like the law of South Africa, has been changed to regularize or to in a sense, I would hasten to try and use the right terminology so as not to offend anyone. But there were laws in the past which were unacceptable in today's modern age in which we live. So all of those laws were repealed to make things more palatable and more acceptable for the 21st century. Okay, not everyone agrees with them, but that's the law is the law. When it comes to safety and compliance, those rules have been made because there have been incidents in the past that have created drama, and to prevent that from happening again, the law has been changed. So the threat still exists, and the law now says this is illegal. Surely then there is a case to apply to the authorities to have the building rectified, or if they can't rectify it, to then remedy it in another way.
So the way it works is because it's individual home unit owners in that building. It's the responsibility of each unit owner to rectify their own issue.
Is there a way of doing it? Then replace the geyser with those electric heaters.
So you can use a push-through heater, but the problem is the amount of power that those things utilize is ginormous. And in a unit, you would have to put two or three of them. One of those things basically uses a normal flats power supply while it's heating the water up. It's ginormous, but it only uses that amount of power for a very short period. But so there have been some applications where the guys are doing renovations in their apartments and the water heaters have been moved to underneath the sink or underneath the cupboard that's close to the walkway, where you can put a drip tray underneath it and the safety valve discharge pipes and everything go out. But in the event that you can't move it because of financial restraints or the client just flat out refuses, you as the installer are then, by law, you need to note down on a certificate of compliance the non-compliances that are there. So, for example, there's no drip tray. And the insurances are now starting to come back on that and go, okay, so there's no drip tray under your water heater. When it bursts and it leaks water all over your apartment and messes up your air fryer and your kitchen cupboards and all of that stuff, we're not going to pay for that.
Oh.
We'll pay for the replacement of your water heater.
But not the damage.
Not the damage caused by it. when it comes to critical safety factors, that's non-negotiable for me. So safety valve discharge pipes, those kind of things, making sure that those are discharging in a safe area. There has been installations where I've gone to and I've actually isolated the geyser and told the client that it cannot be replaced in the same place because of critical safety factors. And we have come to a compromise and relocated the water heater into a better location.
Because you can do that, and you can. It might not be particularly beautiful, but having a geyser on the outside wall of your apartment or your home or whatever, but it's practical and it's legal.
Yeah, it is. So it just obviously the body corporate rules or the homeowner's rules will then go, well, we don't like these things on the outside of the building. We've got another complex in Bolito where the ducts were built nice and close around the geysers. The geysers have changed size.
Oh, no.
So they went from having 50 mils of closed cell foam insulation around them to having 80 mils of closed cell foam insulation to increase their energy rating, make them retain hot water longer. But now you come to this apartment and you can't fit the geyser in.
Oh.
So what do you do? Now you've got to relocate it. You've got to try... the ground floor units, they've kind of given and gone, okay, you can put it outside, but then it's got to be cladded. The roof units are in the roof. But the middle floor, where does that go?
Wow. So these are things that one needs to be aware of when you're looking at buying an apartment or a home in a building that has possibly non-compliant fittings.
So this is why I'm so passionate about the fact that when a property is purchased or sold or anything like that, that it's not necessarily just the agents or the attorneys and stuff like that that need to get the certificates. You need to bring in a professional, because a plumbing certificate is not required for the sale of a property, which is quite strange, whereas like you get the electricals, the entomology, the glazing and all those other things. But the plumbing COC for a sale of a property is not something that's required. I still believe that potential new homeowner purchasers need to have that stuff looked at. I mean,
and would you do an inspection like that if someone was just to make sure that what they're buying is
100%
is compliant and legit?
What we generally in the region of about 2,500 rand. We go out to site with the cameras. We stick the cameras down the drains to make sure that there's no funny shenanigans going on with the sewer and the stormwater. And then do a general assessment of the piping network. Make sure that pressure valve's in the right place and you're not going to void warranties of your water heaters.
And that, I presume, if you found irregularity, the potential buyer could insist that it is rectified by the potential seller before the purchase can proceed. So in a sense, that 2,000 Rand is an investment, and it could be very worthwhile investing that money because it could save you a lot of money in the short term.
Well, I mean, you're going to go spend 2, 3, 4, 10, 15 million Rand on a property.
Yeah.
2,500 Rand is like a little drop in the ocean.
You make a good point, and I'm sure that there are people listening to this that are making notes as we speak, because surely it makes a lot of sense. Check that your plumbing is compliant. A small investment up front, and you know that what you're buying is well, it's what you expect, rather than getting a surprise later.
100%.
Yeah. Well, there it is. The plumbing boss, Barry Chapman. The geyser specialist, the drain specialist, and the leak specialist all rolled up into one, and now they do gas as well. How about that? Wow. He's everything. Everything and everywhere. And I was going to be dashing out of the studio because no doubt the next job awaits. But Barry, we'll catch up in a week's time for more.
Thank you so much, man. Cheers.
And the morning show continues.